I think it is some years ago since we looked at some of the various people that I thought we might look at whose lives appear in Men of Destiny. I think it's Men of Destiny there, the book that Peter Masters has written. So, for instance, if I said to you, who is Alves Reis, would you know? Then I must tell you. We travel to Portugal. Right, Portugal. So even sunnier. I hope it is. Anyway, it should be there. Warmer than it is here today. And we are back, last century, the beginning of last century, where there is a young man full of great ideas and great ambitions. And he is dreaming of how one day he's going to be rich. And all he can think about is this world, this life, and how he can really make his mark. Well, he is a highly intelligent man. And he is full of sort of schemes. He's got a great imagination. And those imaginations kind of stray away from what really would say is right and legal. So he thinks, I'm quite smart, I am, and I'm going to be able to do anything I like and make some money. Well, Portugal in those days had a colony in Africa called Angola, okay? Angola. And it was a country full of promise, all kinds of things there, gold and silver. And you could see how easy it would be to make a huge fortune in Angola. So he had his eye on that. Well, he thought, what am I going to do? I know what I'll do. Don't any of you do this, but this is what he did. He forged a document from the, in those days, now something of a polytechnic of engineering at the University of Oxford. So he thought, that sounds impressive. Doesn't exist, polytechnic, whatever. It didn't exist then. Don't think it exists now. But anyway, that's what he thought. That sounds impressive. And he forged some signatures on it, and he put a stamp upon it. And he went off to Angola and waved this around. They thought, that is really impressive. Well, we'll put you in charge, all kinds of things here, government official. But he's very clever. He's very bright. And he rose and he rose and he rose up the ranks. But that wasn't enough for him. So he thought, well, I'm going to branch out from here now. I'm going to go into business. And I'm going to start buying and I'm going to start selling things. And, well, that didn't stay enough for him, really. So he thought, I know what I'll do here. There's a big company and I want to take it over and I want to use its money there to build a new railway line that will go into Angola and which will bring all this gold and this silver out and make me even more money. I thought, well, I haven't got the money to actually buy what I need to buy here. I know what I'll do. Never think to do this. He forges a check. And he says to the people that he's going to buy this company from in order to get all the money and finance his great dreams. I'll buy this and however many thousands of escudos, Portuguese currency, gave it to them. He said, oh, it's a bank in New York, all right? And of course, in those days, how would you get to New York? How would you get to New York? If you wanted to go to New York, Stanley? By boat. By boat. Boats are quick, are they? No, they're rather slow, aren't they? So he gave them check to the people there. Well, bank of so-and-so, we better send it to the bank of where it is in New York. Oh, put it on the boat. And of course, it would take weeks to get there. By which time, Alves Reis thought, no problem, I'll be able to get the money from these companies that I'm buying up, and I can use that money to sort of pay off this check, which will bounce, and then everything will be fine. I can just sort of fiddle around with the money that way, and all these people, oh, hang on, that check hasn't worked. Never mind, I got the money here, there you go. And he could just fiddle around with all this money and somehow get away with it. But he didn't. And he ended up where? Where did he end up for doing that, do you think? Where do you think he ended up, Molly? In prison. He ended up in prison. Not happily, he started blaming everybody, and he got the press to sort of mount a bit of a campaign there against the politicians and against the bankers. He really tried to sort of not my fault, not my fault at all. Was it his fault? Do you think it was, Grace? Do you think he was to blame? I think he was to blame as well, but he tried to blame everybody else. People do that, don't they? Oh, it's his fault, their fault. But anyway, he still had to stay in prison. He came out of prison. But he hadn't changed one little bit. In fact, he got an even bigger idea. Now he thought, this is really clever, and this will earn me huge amounts of money. Right, he thought, it's a bit complicated in a way, this. I'm not very good at all these sorts of things there. But anyway, try and follow it as best you can. In Portugal, in those days, just like here in these days, actually, if you needed more money, the government would say, that's all right, we'll just print some. I think they call it quantitative easing today, don't they? It's got a fancy title, but anyway, those days, that's what they did. Right, no problem, we'll just print loads of this money. Won't tell anybody we're doing it, mind, in case they'll go, oh, this money's not worth anything, is it? No, we'll just print it quietly like this, and there it goes. Just sort of put it into the economy, and off it'll float and make money somewhere else. Good. Well, Alice Reyes knew this is what was done. So he thought, I know what I'll do here. And he got some businessmen who didn't fully know what he was doing and said, look, I am a government official from Angola, and here is my letter from the government. Was it real, that letter, do you think? Do you think? No, he just forged that, and again, I think he got a sort of gold sort of seal upon it. Made it look very impressive, forged the signatures. There we are. And he said, and this letter gives me permission to go and print a lot of money. And it's going to go to Angola, and it's going to be invested there, and we're going to put it into some companies there, and I'm in charge of doing this, and you can be in on this as well, and so we'll get a slice of that money ourselves there, and of course the money that sort of comes back to us from the banks and things and from the companies that we put the money in, all the profits, that will also come back to us. Do you like the idea? Oh, yes, they said, we do like that idea. And so, with this here letter, one of these people that Alves Reyes had sort of conned into being into this thing, went to London, where these Portuguese notes were being printed in those days. And he showed this impressive letter to the head of this company called Waterlows in London, who said, oh, well, that's very interesting then. Right, oh, well, you want some new notes printed, do you? Right, OK, then. And he said, that's all right, just use the plates you've already got. They've got these special plates for making the money. And, of course, on the money, on each sort of note, you have a serial number, don't you? It's got its own number. Oh, complicated old number it is, too. XZ364, you know, loads of numbers on it. So it's got its own individual number. And I said, yeah, we can do those there. And what we're going to do is we're just going to print over it, when we've got this money, Angola, right? So it's going to have Angola on it, so it'll show it's different money that way. Oh, no problem, said the people at Waterlows. We'll print that money for you. That'll be, in those days, £1,500 to do that. And how many of these notes do you want? Oh, a couple of million pounds worth should sort it nicely. But no problem. So, all of this money got printed. And this particular colleague of Alves Reyes carried it all. And he was a diplomat. So that allowed his bags to travel without being opened by anybody. So, oh, you're in the diplomatic service, your country. That bag passes through there. We won't look inside that, will we, sir? And so, all this money went back to Portugal. And Alves Reyes and his friends then started putting some money in that bank account there. And that bank account there, of course, that was earning money there. And they started putting that money into Angola. And companies they bought up, and they created the Bank of Angola. And, of course, that was lending out money, getting more money back. So all of these notes, all of these notes, these escudo notes, were there going throughout Europe, and they were all fake. All absolutely fake. They were worth nothing. But people didn't know that. Or at least most people didn't know that. Some people began to think, hang on, what is going on here? All this money suddenly appearing from nowhere. How's this happening? And they became very suspicious, actually, some of them, of Alves Reyes. he would say, no, 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 I've got authority to do it. And he was almost rich enough to buy the Bank of Portugal. He was on the point of buying the Bank of Portugal. This really was the thing. He was a multi-millionaire by our terms today. He had a huge house there in Portugal. What's the capital of Portugal? There's a bit of geography there. Capital of Portugal there, Stanley. Lisbon. He had a fine house overlooking the sea and fine car to drive himself around in. All this seemingly worked. But the newspapers then, as well as today, often do a very good service in sort of getting behind a story and working things out a bit. They wouldn't give this story up at all. And so the government thought, well, we better investigate this. And so one day, they came to one of these banks where all this money was being held. And then, I don't know how I hadn't realised it before, and then they realised something. They looked at these escudo notes, and what did they see on it, Timothy?
Instead of a serial number, just Angola.
Well, hadn't even put Angola on it, actually. It was still a serial number there. And they realised, wait a minute, we've already printed ones with that serial number on. What is going on here? So then that was it. They arrested Alves Reis. Right, you're going to stand trial. You have been forging these. You've been making this money up here. It's worth nothing. And there in Portugal, there was chaos. There were riots, people realising, my money's worth nothing, all my savings and that. It was disastrous. The government was in trouble. Everybody was in trouble. The banks were in trouble. Absolute disaster. Worse it sounds than, you know, 2007 in this country here. So he was standing trial. But he didn't go quietly. And he started blaming everybody. He's blaming the bank. He was blaming the government. He was blaming these financiers. He was trying everything he knew to try to get off the hook. But no, they kept on, they kept on. They sort of got through all of this. They arrested loads of people. And then I suppose they let them go again when they realised, no, it wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault. They'd just been conned. And then after 6 years, he stood trial. But something had begun to happen. He'd been in hospital because he'd actually tried to take his life. He realised this thing was going down and he was going to go down badly. And so he tried to kill himself with some poison, but it didn't work, and now he was in the hospital. And he was next to a man, and this man began to tell him about the Bible and why he believed in the Bible and why he had himself come to understand the Bible is true. Well, he hadn't thought much about the Bible, had Alves Reis. He thought, that doesn't work today. That was for another day. I'm a man of the world. I don't need these things. But of course, now in his hospital bed, he began to think, well, perhaps I do. And began to look. And it began to strike him of how Jesus Christ is everywhere from Genesis right through to Revelation at the end. And that struck him. But then he began to correspond with somebody who was a Roman Catholic. And this man said, well, join the Roman Catholic Church. That'll be the best thing for you to do. And so he did at that stage. But by now he had realised enough that he should tell the truth. And to everybody's shock and amazement, in court, he stood up and he read out his, begins with C, Timothy?
Confession.
Confession. He read out his confession. And it went on for hours. And it was amazing because he got a bit of the gift of the gab. You know, that's how he got away with so much of it. But now he was just speaking forth these things. Everyone is absolutely amazed. But anyway, things began to change a bit more for him because he actually ended up, of course, going to prison. He was given a sentence. 2 years solitary confinement to begin with. What does that mean? If you're in solitary confinement, Stanley?
You're on your own, it's not
like
you're
going to
tell someone else.
That's right. No contact with anybody else. You can't have friends going in. 2 years in there. I think it was 25 years total they gave him. So he was gone down for a very long stretch. But somebody, on impulse, had sent him some Christian leaflets telling him about the way of salvation. And he began to read these, and it all began to make sense to him. And he felt a real joy building up in him as he read about Jesus Christ and salvation. And these things there, he just could not get away from. And he saw the name of the man who had sent him these, so he wrote to the man. His address was there. And the man came and visited him in prison and explained to him the way of salvation. And he saw all his mistakes, and he saw how wrong he had been to dismiss the Bible and to think, oh, I don't need these things. Now he was convinced of his sin, and he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he changed. Oh, he changed. And now he was in the prison, yes, but he was somebody that everybody trusted because his character had changed. And so they put him in charge, a bit like Joseph, isn't it? They put him in charge of things in the prison there. Well, anyway, 19 years passed. He was an evangelist to the prisoners and he would speak to them. And after 19 years, he was released. Well, the criminals thought, ah, he's not changed this. Well, he's not changed, it's just a front. So they get in touch with him. We've got this great scheme. I think you're our man for this. We're going to make some money here. Can you come in on it? What do you think he said? What do you think he said? Stanley? No. Thank you. Put me out of my misery there. No. Not interested, thank you. That's all in the past. I'm a changed man. So these criminals went, seems like he is. And he'd go around preaching in different churches and was really a man that people wanted to hear how God had changed his life. And he would speak about Jesus Christ and how real he was to him and how much he meant to him and how he treasured the Bible. All those things. And he had a wife, actually, and she became a Christian. And sons, and they became Christians. So the whole effect of this man now was totally positive. Something real had happened to him. And now he wanted to talk about that, which was real and solid and enduring. And he died without any money. He was penniless. But the thing was that he was happy because his soul was secure in Christ. So there we have. He died in 1955, Alves Reis. Perhaps in the weeks ahead, we'll look at some other lives of people who had a remarkable experience of meeting the Lord. So hear the positive there. I don't want to hear in 10 years' time that you're forging banknotes or something like that. Let's sing our next hymn. 155, 155, one there is above all others.